Hey guys, this is Samuel Johnson, and I'm with Mike Seaver, and we are going to just take some time to cover the sabbatical that Mike had and takeaways, high-level things that were encouraging what the Lord was doing, and hopefully will encourage the church, and yeah, just a conversation. So Mike, what just to start us off, giving a high overview to the church, what was the goal of the sabbatical?
Yeah, first off, I'd like to say thank you to the church for giving us the sabbatical. It was really encouraging, and just encouraging from the church family to be so excited for us in it and just supportive. Yep. And like, I had numerous people just rooting us on. I had people send letters of encouragement and scripture, and the generosity of people just giving us gifts and meals and all sorts of stuff was just really, really kind and encouraging. Yeah. And I think there would probably be, I didn't have this, but I think there would be a possibility of some pastors that would feel guilty in the midst of a sabbatical of like, why, you know, and I didn't feel that because I didn't feel any condemnation or struggle from our church. There were people that are like, do you need a longer one? Do you like, you need this? And so that was just really encouraging. But yeah, a high level, the rationale for a sabbatical is from the Old Testament, just the concept of rest and the field laying fallow every so many years and just resting and how that can play in church history-wise. That kind of seemed to be adopted as a thing for pastors and scholars and things like that. They're doing a lot of mind work of resting every so many years. And so as a elder team, we've talked about it. We've had different ideas of it, but just never been able to implement it. And so back in 2020, we had a whole plan for the sabbatical, and then COVID hit, and it was like, this is not a good time to do that. And then we adopted, and so it just wasn't good for our family to try to figure that out when we've been having lots of ups and downs with adding four new kids to the house. And so that was where we started talking about, like, we've got to try to proactively get this going.
Make
so
it happen.
Yeah.
It had been, you hadn't taken one, that what, it's been 12 years?
Almost 13 years of planting the church, but 23 years of ministry.
Without a sabbatical.
And yeah, this is my first one.
First sabbatical.
So, and I highly recommend it. It's wonderful. Yeah.
Oh, man. That's great. Yeah, and I echo what you said about just the way that the church was caring for you guys. We saw it on our end as well, just throughout the time of people's desire to care and intentionality and thoughtfulness and checking in and various things. So,
people really, I didn't feel any pressure from our elders or from our church family to like get involved or engaged in anything. And so that was really kind too. I didn't feel any pressure on that. I felt a little pressure on my Sovereign Grace work end, just because there was some churn there of stuff that needed to get done. But it was really nice that on the Risen Hope end, I felt very released, and good. That helped a ton.
Good, good, good. We are grateful you felt that so that it could truly be restful, hopefully.
Yeah, it was.
So next question, just what was a high and a low from the 2 months, right? 2 months sabbatical. What was maybe a high and a low from the sabbatical?
A high would have been just a lot of time with the family and kids, and a lot of time in prayer. So time with the Lord was really sweet. I do that daily, even when I'm not in sabbatical mode. But just long amounts of time to linger with the Lord, and I would go kayaking and just sing and pray by myself. I would go get my hammock out and read and pray and stuff like that. So that was nice. And then just time with the kids that was unhurried. And so I didn't have other things on my mind, which is something I think I've struggled with for years, is like, am I actually present when I'm present? Yeah. And especially with different pastoral things or different ideas or whatever, like being in the home and being around the kids, but still having part of my mind busied or in a hurry and not as engaged as I think I need to be. So that was a high. It was really nice. I learned, I've told a few folks, I learned how much I say no to my kids and to just be able to say yes to not even like big deal things. So one day a couple of the kids came and were like, "Hey, can you help fix our fishing poles?" And like that's not a big deal, but it's hard for them to do, so I have to stop and do it. And I know 2 weeks later it's going to be tangled up and I'll have to do it again. But just to take joy and just sitting there and making sure every single one of our fishing poles, which we have a bunch of them, like every one of them worked, and it was even fun and just God's kindness. Heidi was helping me a little bit, and so we just went out and I was just fixing one fishing pole and put a little fake lizard on it, which I've never caught anything with. I was like, "Heidi, we just cast this a couple times." And she caught like a big catfish, and we weren't even fishing. We were just
That's funny.
testing the pole. So she got a big catfish, and we took a
It's a fun
picture, and
memory.
it was a fun memory of like, I've been trying to catch that catfish in there for years, and then we weren't even fishing, and Heidi caught it. So that was pretty awesome.
That's the way it goes.
So that was those were highs. I don't really know of lows. Like, it was just a very sweet time. I was even talking to Kristen. We were taking a walk this morning, and just talking about which walking with my wife was. It's a normal thing for us. We've been doing that for 23 plus years of marriage. But like, we took walks almost every day and just able to talk and debrief. And so I was talking to her this morning about it, and she was like, "Yeah, it was really, really restful." And able to engage. She said the last 2 weeks, so we went to Jamaica as part of the time. She said since coming back from Jamaica, she could, and I started praying about ministry stuff and church stuff. She said she could see that I've like started thinking more about church stuff. So that was interesting. I didn't know that till this morning when we were talking about that. But really being able to relax and pull back.
Yeah, that's good.
That's good.
How was it, just for the rest of the family? What did the sabbatical look like for them? I guess a lot of life continuing as normal,
Yeah,
but
life
you're
continued as
covering some of
normal
the.
with school for the kids, and we did get to go to the mountains during spring break, to the
Nice.
North Carolina mountains, and just enjoy time away there. And that was just kind of vacation type time being together, which was fun.
Good.
Kristen and I did get to go to Jamaica, which
Yeah.
was really nice. We spent 6 days there, and we've been there a few times and really love it, and just relaxing, spending time together, talking about marriage and just enjoying each other and enjoying a beautiful country that we would love to spend lots of time there. It's just a joy being there. Lots of good memories there. And then just kind of normal life was, it was neat to have, especially the first like 3 weeks of sabbatical were very normal life. So I was taking kids to school, picking them up, but having some rest while they were at school, where I was kayaking. I started golfing again. I used to golf when I was in high school. I played high school golf team. I used to be good. I'm not anymore. But we would always walk. And when I've played over the last 13 years since being here, I'd always ride in a car. I'd play with a few guys, and I'd kind of be tired of playing by hole 13 or 14. And so I just walked by myself and played 9 holes. So it's like hour and a half, 2 hours, and was able to just like go out in the morning and pray and play and listen to the audio Bible. I'm listening through the Old Testament right now, and it was a lot of fun, and it was very rejuvenating. It wasn't expensive. I just go to a local club here that's cheaper, and it was like, this is really fun. So just I'm trying to learn how to rest, learn how to play. Kristen and I were on an ultimate frisbee team,
Nice.
so that was, I think my knees hurt right now actually from that, but
Getting old.
I am, well, I was one of the oldest members of the team. There's one gentleman who comes every once in a while who's older. Everybody else is younger than Kristen and me. So we are the old
So the old
people,
couple.
and
How
it
did
was
that
a
feel?
humbling thing. Yeah, 'cause like I used to be able to hang, and like I feel like I'm the one of the worst members of the team.
Yep,
And
that's
so
good.
just like one night I actually scored 5. goals, and like that was really fun, but I thought like I could keep that up, and I didn't. And so it's like I had one really good game, and the
That's
rest are
good.
like, eh, kind of disappointing, but everybody
There
else is good. We're undefeated,
you
so we
go.
play possibly in the
Congrats.
championship tonight, which is fun.
Wow.
But trying to, I don't know how much I'll play because I think my knees hurt. So that was fun. But learning, even like Sabbathing has been something we've been talking, Kristen and I have been talking a lot about. I'm not a Sabbatarian, that there's like a strictness to it, but that idea of a cadence of rest has been something we've been talking about. So we're even like implementing a few things as a family. We're talking about it, and it was really sweet. We just started talking about it as a family of like, what would it look like to take a certain amount of hours on Saturdays? Because Sunday I work a lot. So for our family, like normally I think a normal family, probably Sunday's a good time. But for us, because I work so much on Sunday, Saturdays having a little more rhythm of rest. And it was really interesting talking to the kids, and like they were even talking about like making sure everybody's phones are put away during that time. And that was not my idea. That was like one of the kids who doesn't have a phone, his idea, one of the adoptive kids. And it was pretty cool. Like, okay, we're putting phones in the drawer and we're just going to be together. And okay, we're going to play or swim or ride bikes or whatever. And for our family, there's a rhythm of kids in the swimming pool, Bob Marley music in the background, and me grilling. That just seems like almost like a Saturday night relax thing for our family, like just
That's good.
some Jamaican music and the kids just kind of relax. And sometimes we have, well, a lot of times we have kids over from the neighborhood and stuff. So we just really enjoyed some of that time. So we want to have more of a cadence of that regularly, and that's one of the things we're praying that we take out of this.
Yeah, that's good. Which is gonna look different for every family to
Sure,
think through how to
absolutely.
rest, but that's helpful for them. For others, just to hear some ways that you guys are
Yeah, and
thinking through
we are
that.
stealing things from other people we've learned. Like I know reading John Mark Comer, he talks about how their family Sabbaths by having like a big cookie cake and ice cream and stuff. So we actually, one of our first times we did a like ice cream. And so it was funny actually yesterday. So this is, we're recording this on a Monday. Yesterday on Sunday, one of my kids was like, "Are we gonna do Sabbath?" And I was like, "You just want ice cream right now." And she smiled. She's like, she just wants a lot of ice cream. So, but this, even just talking to the kids about that and like, hey, why are we eating this ice cream right now? Well, we're celebrating that the Lord gives us rest. And so just, I need to learn this. I need to lead my family in this. It's an area I don't think I've done great over the last 23 years of my marriage, and then adding kids. And so it's something I want to grow in.
That's good. Thanks for sharing. And I think that leads well into the next question I have for you, which is what was the best book you read? Why? And then what were some takeaways from that book?
Yeah, the best book I read is one I'm almost done with. Paul Miller's A Praying Church. I was really influenced by Paul Miller's A Praying Life several, I mean, maybe 8 years ago. I've probably read it two or three times. It just really impacted me. One of the things I really liked about it is that's the only book I've read on prayer that really deals with cynicism and the how cynicism hurts our prayer and just kind of like our own heart struggles with prayer. And he has a couple chapters on that that were, I mean, they're golden. They're so good. And so I really like that book. And then I was buying a few books preparing for sabbatical, and I saw, I didn't even know this last year, but he wrote A Praying Church last year, and it was winning these awards and stuff. And I was like, oh, I should pick that up. And so we were preparing to go on like a little personal retreat. You and I were going on a camping trip that got rained out, basically. But that was a book I was like, I should, as I'm heading back toward pastoral ministry at the end of the sabbatical, I want to start reading that. And it has been really impactful. It's been really, really good. So I'm going through that. I'll probably reread it because it's just been really, really helpful on what prayer looks like for a church, what prayer looks like individually. It's an area I I spent significant time in prayer as well as thinking about prayer. Mm-hmm. One of the emphases he has is praying about prayer, which is not something we usually think about.
Yeah.
So
elaborate on that for a little, for a second.
Huh?
What is his idea of praying about prayer?
Just even like, and so he gave like an example of, he was kind of working with some pastors about a prayer strategy for their church.
Mm-hmm.
And so they all came with their prayer strategies and none of them included praying about the prayer strategy. About the prayer strategy. So, which is hilarious. And it's like, yeah, I could see that. I could do that. Same thing.
Yep.
And, so he's talking about if we want to grow in prayer, we've got to pray mm-hmm. about that.
Yeah.
And so he just kind of slows you down, which I think is a theme mm-hmm. I'm learning little by little, is the pace that I've been going for 23 years of ministry is probably not the pace I need to go my next however long God gives me.
Mm-hmm.
Slow down the pace.
Yeah.
I read a book called Halftime. It was okay. Is by a guy who's a business, Christian business guy, but he was just talking about there's a rush of your first 20-ish years of work life, and then there's this point in your like mid-40s, early to mid-40s, that you realize, okay, I've gotten to the spot,
mm-hmm.
now I'm looking back and seeing good and bad, but now I'm looking forward, and I'm at a halftime. Mm-hmm. So it was a good one to read at this point in my life, and that was an interesting book. It wasn't, I wouldn't recommend it. Like, I wouldn't recommend go pick it up. Mm-hmm. But there were some helpful parts of in this certain season for me of like then looking forward. And he talked about your gear shifts down as you get older. So you've got more experience and more wisdom, but your energy level is going to be dissipating. Mm-hmm. And so then thinking how to do that. And it's like, this is really interesting.
Yeah.
One of our highlights was we went and visited Jim and Sharon Hawkins in Wilmington. Great. Mm-hmm. Jim's one who talked to me a lot about that.
And for those who don't know, Jim was...
Yeah, Jim helped plant the church. So Jim is a friend, a mentor. My kids call him Uncle Jim and Aunt Sharon. So we've known the Hawkins for years. They're at the Sovereign Grace plant in Wilmington now.
Yeah.
And it was fun being with them as mm-hmm. well. Just that church, it reminded me so much of our old Sovereign Grace Church of Love Country days, which was really fun.
Yeah, because they're still meeting. They don't have a location yet, right?
They're meeting in another church's facility. Yeah. All the things that it really felt like. I was like, I remember this. And Jim's over there on the ministry mic.
Yeah.
It's like, this feels like Sovereign Grace Church of Love Country days. So that was fun.
Yeah.
That was good.
Mm. That's good. Glad that was encouraging. So last question I have, and then feel free to open it up to anything else that would be helpful. But coming back, what are a couple takeaways just from things that the Lord is doing in your own heart, your own life, and some things that you're like, you know what, I really want to bring that back into ministry. Obviously, the Lord changes your heart personally, but things that you're like, man, I would need to, that's going to just influence ministry as well.
Yeah,
so what would be good. Some things?
I think the slower pace, I was even praying about that this morning. So today's my first day back. Yesterday was my first day back.
Yeah.
But it was a Sunday, so I'm interacting with lots of people. But today's my first day back, answering emails and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even on the way over here to meet with you, I was just answering some emails. It was starting to get overwhelming looking at the amount of work ahead of me.
Yeah.
That, just emails. It was just like, whew, okay. And just, praying on the way over here and just, Lord, let me go at your pace. He's got a rhythm and pace that is unhurried and is not struggling. And so I can go at his pace. So just going at a slower pace, the pace of Christ, is something I've been thinking beyond the sabbatical, even before the sabbatical, but that's a regular thought I've been having. But it was helpful to downshift big time for 2 months to learn a little bit of what a slower pace looks like.
Mm-hmm.
And even yesterday, just being able to pray for folks. I was praying for some folks this morning that I prayed for yesterday.
Yeah.
And just being able to, you know what? This is what I want to do. I want to shepherd the flock through praying for folks and mm-hmm. not having to hurry and talk to everybody, which I like to talk to everybody if possible, but that's not realistic. Mm-hmm. I'm not omnipresent. I don't need to carry that on my shoulders.
Yeah.
So I felt like I did a better job of that yesterday, of like slowing down to actually engage with the people the Lord wanted me to and pray with them.
Yeah.
So that was good. So I want to do that. With that, I've thought a lot about the Sabbath, solitude, fasting, prayer, like that rhythm. I think as I learn more, it'll influence our church more. So I don't know what that looks like. I don't have some strategy there, but just us to be a rhythm of walking the way of Jesus. Yeah. I learned, now this isn't necessarily for the church, but just one of my big prayers was enjoying my kids. I was telling some folks recently, I asked Kristen about this morning. I was like, I don't think I struggled with impatience very much over the sabbatical.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, like, to be like, I really didn't struggle with impatience. Well, why is that? You know, so there was a pacing, there was not having the external pressures of work or other things going on. So just learning to enjoy my kids more and, you know, pouring into them. And then probably the big takeaway, like what I would just say my focus right now personally is, and I don't know if this focus is supposed to be for a few months or several years, is how do I really focus on being an encourager? How do I seek to encourage other people, really pointing out evidences of grace?
Yeah.
It's been a weakness I've had, and I really want to grow there. And so really purposely praying about that and thinking about that daily. Mm-hmm. So that's a focus on encouraging others, a focus on prayer.
Yeah.
And really not just being a man who prays, which I am and I've been for years, but really the dependence on God, where I'm quick to pray. I have regular rhythms of prayer. With others. So that's something I'm kind of like toying around with, of like, what does that look like? Because I have regular rhythms of praying by myself, and I pray with Kristen at night before we go to bed, stuff like that. But like, what else does that look like? And then evangelism, and how has God gifted me there? I have desires and passions there. So I'm kind of pondering and praying through, like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
As well as like the gifted evangelists we have around us, like learning from them and spending some time with them. So
yeah, that's good.
That's those three areas, encouraging others, prayer, and evangelism, are areas that I really feel like the Lord's like put on my heart to kind of solidify, like pray through these, focus on these. Not that there's not other focuses, but really for a period of time, or maybe the rest of my life, I don't know. Those three being focuses for me.
Yeah, that's good. Yes. May we all grow in those things. Well, we're grateful for your sabbatical. We're glad you were able to go on the sabbatical.
Yeah, thank you.
As an eldership team. And know that that's going to serve you, your family, but also our church, in the way that you're able to keep serving and loving our church well, as you've been doing. May we grow all the more in those things. So, and thank you again, church, for the way that you have just faithfully supported. And even being, not being on a sabbatical as an elder, and just seeing the way that you guys cared for the rest of the elder team and loved us well and were thoughtful as to the workload and various aspects and praying. And we as your elders are just so grateful to be eldering this church, and it is, I know we'd both say it's just a gift. Our whole team would say it's a gift to be able to do that, an honor and a privilege. So thanks, Mike, for having this conversation. Yeah. Hopefully it encourages our church, as I'm confident it will. And do you want to just end us in prayer?
Yeah, let's do it. Father, I thank you. I thank you that you are gracious to us, Lord, that you are the God of rest. And Lord, we can rest in you. So Lord, help those in our church right now that even as they're listening, they long for rest. They long for Sabbath. They long for the slower pace and downshifting, Lord.
meet them by your spirit, even now as they're listening. Lord, help them to breathe in your grace and your favor toward them. And Lord, thank you for answering our prayers that for our family, this went so well. God, I pray that would be a momentum for future sabbaticals for other pastors, even for us years from now, Lord, that there would just be a leaning in of rhythms of grace. Lord, let us be a praying people. Let us all grow in our understanding of our dependence on you, but also the joy of praying to you that you are listening and you are eager to hear us. And Lord, just forgive us where there's cynicism. Forgive us where there's skepticism. Forgive us where we just try in our own strength or we just get so hurried. Thank you for Samuel. Thank you for this opportunity to talk. And I pray this would serve others, Lord. We pray this little podcast would serve others for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, church family.
Yeah, love you guys.